Thanks for staying tuned here to Organic Matters. Appreciate it. I am on a number of stations, and I do want to bring it up in case you're on one of them. If you're not and you are hearing this and want to hear me at any time, which is interesting, you can go to one of the podcasts. There's a bunch of them out there now. I know I'm on Apple Podcast and Stitcher and InTunes and a few others. I keep forgetting exactly which ones have picked me up. But anyway, you'll be able to come across Organic Matters, and then you can kind of choose and pick the particular subjects, because I do bounce around a bit. And of course, organicmatters.info is going to be modernized. I've had it for a few years, but I've never used it very much. And that is my own website, organicmatters.info. And you can always get me for the last 22 years at natureapproved, all one word, past tense, natureapproved@yahoo.com. So let's stick with it. This part of the show is going to be a little bit on the newsy side, and because you have to, and it'll be a bit political, just because so much has happened in the few years about the environment that we're working on. So stick with us for this. It will just be a couple of small articles that I've held on to sort of catch us up on what's going on to the world around us. The Biden administration just detailed steps to achieve an ambitious goal to conserve nearly a third of America's lands and waters by the year 2030. Relying on voluntary efforts to preserve public, private, and tribal areas while also helping tackle climate change and create more jobs. America the Beautiful, that's the name of the report. And it calls for a decade-long commitment on projects nationwide to make the conservation and restoration of lands and waters a priority. The plan would purify drinking water, increase green spaces, improve access to outdoor recreation, restore healthy fisheries, reduce the risk of wildfires, and recognize the oversized contributions of farmers, ranchers, forest owners, fishers, hunters, rural communities, and tribal nations. In the process, the effort will produce thousands of new jobs and a stronger economy while addressing climate change and environmental justice, including expanded access by disadvantaged communities to the outdoors. Biden has set a goal of conserving at least 30% of the U.S. lands and waters by 2030. A far cry from the previous administration. If successful, the plan will help slow global warming and preserve some of the nation's most scenic lands for future generations of Americans. Only about 12% of the nation's lands and about 25% of its waters are protected right now, according to research by the Center for American Progress. It's just sort of a think tank. Those protected areas include not just parks, but also wilderness areas, forest, ranches, and other sites with conservation easements. The plan released this past Thursday recommends actions including expansion of a federal grant program to create local parks, especially in cities and other nature-deprived communities. The report also suggests grants for Native American tribes to support tribal conservation priorities, expansion of fish and wildlife habitats and corridors, increased access for outdoor recreation, and creation of a quote-unquote civilian climate corps to work on conservation and restoration projects. All I can really add to this is the fact that this should have started 20 or 25 years ago. As all of us know, we have a finite amount of property we live on here in this thing we call our Earth, and we're not taking very good care of it. Short term, yeah, we can get away with it. We've been kind of cheating nature for at least the last 100 years since we get heavy into industry. Sometime we're going to have to pay back, and I think it's time and a good way to do it, especially if it increases jobs and makes our whole world a little better for all of us. And finally, one more newsy item, which again is going to have to dip a bit into politics just because they've got their fingers in everything now, whether we want them to or not. Longstanding protections of wild birds will be restored under a proposal unveiled Thursday to bring back prosecutions of avian deaths by industry that were ended under former President Trump. The Interior Department announced that is going to dismantle a Trump policy that ended criminal enforcement against companies over bird deaths that could have been prevented. For instance, we know hundreds of millions of birds die annually in collisions with electric lines and wind turbines after landing in oil pits and from other industrial causes, according to governmental officials and researchers. The Biden administration in March issued a legal opinion citing court rulings that said the 102-year-old Migratory Bird Treaty Act was unambiguous, that killing protected birds was unlawful at any time or in any manner. The proposal would cancel a rule enacted in Trump's final days in office that blocked prosecution of unintentional bird deaths. Interior officials said they'll take public comment through the 7th of June before making a final decision. The prohibition against accidental bird deaths was used most notably in a $100 million settlement paid by energy company BP after government investigators concluded that the 2010 Gulf of Mexico oil spill killed at least 100,000 birds. The migratory bird policy was among dozens of other Trump-era environmental actions Biden ordered reconsidered on his first day back in office. Former federal officials, environmental groups, and Democrats in Congress said many of the Trump rules were aimed at benefiting private industry at the expense of real conservation. Thursday's action was hailed by environmental groups that warned more birds would be under the Trump rule. Incidentally, that was my bird flying off. I'm going to leave it in here. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland said it would help ensure agency decisions are guided by real science. The Migratory Bird Treaty Act is a bedrock environmental law that's really critical to protecting migratory birds and restoring declining bird populations. No doubt in my mind about it. Industry groups that supported the Trump policy had expressed willingness to work with President Biden on the issue when he first took office. That is usual for the huge corporations. The Independent Petroleum Association of America, which is mostly into the oil and gas production, condemned the proposed rule cancellation, said it would cause financial harm to their companies. In other words, screw nature. You know, let us tear up the world and not have to worry about paying it back. As a personal note on this subject, so I'll rant here for a minute, I lost two macaws that I flew in 1 week to one transformer that had been improperly or never, ever insulated from any birds. Underneath that pole were dozens of other birds besides mine that it took me two. I lost one, didn't know what happened to it. And then a few days later, when I lost another one, I really went looking and that pole had killed them, that one transformer, and many, many other wild birds. But the biggest situation I ever remember getting into was a wild raven had flown into there's a central electrical, I guess it's a transfer station, right in the town that I live in. I won't bother naming the town because it wasn't the town's fault. But a raven flew in there, and because they had not spent $100 or whatever it was, I talked to the electrical company about it. They spent tens of thousands of dollars to correct the problem. So not only did they not take into consideration Mother Nature, but it ended up costing the citizens a heck of a lot of money. That law that we were just talking about that was put in place taken out. It was actually a 102-year-old treaty act that had served well for the 100 years, so they decided to change it. Saved the lives of probably millions of birds over its lifetime. I'm so glad it's back reenacted. One thing it did that I knew about personally was just the situation I was talking about with my macaws would once again legally allow the electric companies to put up telephone poles and lines across people's properties and things with no proper insulation to protect birds especially, but even other animals that happen to get up into the power lines. And I'm not saying they wouldn't have done it, but the law was gone. I guess it's kind of like telling everybody, hey, we're not going to have any speed limit laws anymore. You just go ahead and self-regulate yourself. Well, I got news for you. That's not the way, especially the big companies, work unless they have a rule and a reason to have to do it right. Not too long ago in the show, I did quote a study that I had found that shows that in the last two decades that we've really been studying, especially the birds in the United States, that's just here in this country, folks, we've lowered the population of birds by over a billion. Now, some bird species suffer far more than others. There's a few invasive birds, and we're going to talk about invasive animals maybe today or if not next week for sure, that have actually grown in total population just because, again, they're the wrong bird in the wrong place. That's not necessarily good for Mother Nature either. But we are in charge, folks, whether we like it or not. We're the only thing on this earth that can control this. Our other animals live their life as the animals live their lives. We are the ones that change the earth. We are the ones that can fix the earth. And we're the ones that can ruin it, not just for the other wildlife that's on this planet, but we will suffer ourselves at some point. There's going to be a breaking point if we just keep using it up and not conserving it. So I'm going to end this part of the show on some good news. I should make myself do more good news. There's always some good news out there. The United States has been steadily adding back forest since the 1940s. According to the North American Forest Commission, we have 2/3 of the trees that we had in the year 1600. But the news isn't all good because some areas, like certain big cities, we have quickly have lost a number of our urban forest. But overall, the United States has 8% of the total forest in the world, which I didn't even realize. We reached that point back in 1997. And in that year, they discovered that we exceed the harvest by 42%. In other words, we are now putting in 42% more trees than we're taking out. And we're growing forest at a rate roughly 4 times faster than we were in the 1920s, when our chop happiness began to level out due to environmental and recreational concerns regarding taking care of the timber here in our country. So on a good note, the total tree gains have been most heavily concentrated on the East Coast, where trees have more than doubled in population, twice as many trees on the East Coast now as there was 70 years ago. We're doing okay here in Texas, where we're gaining slowly. We've slowed them down tremendously in California. Unfortunately, even though we've quit cutting out so much timber, the tremendous increase in forest fires have sort of kept the total tree populations at bay.